Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. For boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WinBet has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100 and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome, everyone, to the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean Steck of the Money Green, with my fellow diehards, Rob, Justin, and there he is, Jalen Hurts with a primetime game. One to remember, running all over the field, out-dueling Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football. Who could have seen it? What a win, 40-33. Justin, how you feeling after that big win?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good, especially after that Colts game where we were talking last week about, you know, the offense looked a little lackluster. Seemed like there could potentially be some concerns due to, you know, lack of creativity. And I mean, they did exactly what we were asking them to do this game, ran the ball down their throats. And I mean, more importantly, I mean, Jalen just had an amazing rushing game altogether. The offense was clicking. The offensive line was great. So, I mean, it was great to see that, you know, the offense still has it. The defense, unfortunately, still leaves a little bit to be desired. They did get two turnovers, though. That turnover margin is still going. And they had to overcome, you know, two turnovers from the offense, one on a fourth down, which we missed. That was unfortunate because the QB sneak had worked so well for us. But hopefully they got out of their system with those two back-to-back ones. And then, you know, we were able to pull it out, though, in the end. And, you know, how about my boy Blankenship? I was happy to see White Lightning out there.
Coming in off the bench, lighting him up, getting that interception. He did have a horrible angle on Christian Watson that just roasted us for a late touchdown. But,
yeah.
Rob, I would say perfect game, right? 40-33, nothing to complain about. Top to bottom, just both sides of the ball, dominating performance. Would you agree?
Yeah, did the Eagles play well? yeah, I guess they did. No, I mean, first of all, clearly the Eagles were listening to our podcast because I think we said just run the ball. And, you know, obviously they were lights out running the ball. You know, Miles Sanders, I think, had 160 all-purpose yards, two TDs, which I did throw out there last podcast. So I'll give myself a little kudos there. And obviously Jalen Hurts, I mean, making it happen with his legs, he's showing why he is so dynamic. And, you know, his passing stats aren't always lights out. You know, in terms of pure yardage, but, you know, I don't think you can evaluate him by just, you know, his yardage and, you know, in terms of passing, because he brings so much with his legs as well. And I think it makes it really hard for the defenses to adjust. I mean, 363 rushing yards, you know, most since 1948. I mean, that's a great stat and really, you know, the Packers just didn't have an answer. And I think Baldy, I saw one of his breakdowns basically said that, you know, Hurts was just making such great instant decisions based on what the defense was showing him that the Packers were just having a tough time adjusting. So, you know, look, I have no real issues with the offense. I mean, the only thing, you know, obviously AJ Brown had that fumble. I don't like that, but he was playing, I think, a little under the weather from everything I read, and then he did come back and have a touchdown, so I'll give him that. You know, the negative to me was the defense, and, you know, you can't give up that many points. It shows why I remain skeptical of Gannon sometimes in big games. I mean, you know, it's too many points to not a good team. And then the special teams, you know, that's obviously the other big issue. But the offense, you know, they were clicking, and I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, some people will complain like, oh, he only had 160 or whatever throwing yards. But, like, I think this is why you have to watch the games. Like, he was really efficient as a passer, fitting some balls into some tight windows. I mean, there was even that one play where he was, like, scrambling around all over and threw, like, a perfect ball into the end zone to Quez Watkins. Quez reached out, couldn't – I mean, it would be a really tough catch to make, but still, the fact that he was able to get it in there. I mean, I was seeing on Reddit that they were doing a – pulling clips from Jalen Hurts' game against the Giants last year. It was almost like exactly 1 year, and it's crazy. Probably his worst game of the season last year, but even just looking at that and looking how much better he is this year, like, he looks so much more confident. He's clearly seen the field way better, which I think is huge. Of course, he debuted a sweet new chain in the post-game show. Some are wondering, do I need a new chain? I did wear it on Sunday with my did like a little late Thanksgiving with my sister. She referred to it as a necklace. Her friends mistakenly also referred to it as a necklace. I had to explain to them it was a chain. There was a lot of questions. Do you think your necklace helped them win? I said it's a chain, and yes, it helped. We're doing everything we can over here. That chain he debuted. I mean, that photo of Jalen Hurts at the press conference, just sitting all badass with that sick chain. I mean, compare that to that weenie Carson Wentz. Like, can you imagine if we traded for either Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, as some in our second group chat were suggesting? Like, it would have just been a complete disaster. It's been awesome. But
just a shout out. We asked Sean if he was going to get another chain. And Sean said, I wonder if he gets them on Etsy like I do.
Hey, just a quick question for Jalen. Yeah, what store do you use on Etsy to get those sweet chains? What about, you mentioned the special teams, Rob. Justin, what's one thing we can do to help fix the special teams? Like, what do we need to do?
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to actually say. Yeah, special teams still leaves a lot to be desired. It goes back to last season. I mean, what I brought it up is the fact that Michael Clay, I didn't think was doing enough job, and it's bled into this season as well. And, I mean, other than firing him, which you wouldn't want to do with a 10-1 team at this point in the season.
Rob would have changed staff like three times. We'd be on our fourth defensive coordinator.
So I'd still keep him at this point, but I definitely would be looking out for the guy for next season. But I mean, I think it goes back to tackling. I think at least twice on kick returns, maybe even three times, they were past the 40-yard line. Green Bay was past the 40-yard line to start their drive. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the other thing, potentially, and we've talked about it, is a returner. But the good thing about Covey is he does secure the ball for the most part. I think he did have one fumble this season briefly. I think he was able to get on top of it, if I remember correctly. But he doesn't really get a ton of yards for us on those punt returns. I did see Boston started with the kick returns this game. But, I mean, we've seen Boston Scott back there in the past. I mean, he does a decent job, but I don't know. It's not enough, obviously.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like they've moved on from Covey. You know, just watching the game. And I would absolutely fire Michael Clay. I mean, he's not getting the job done. Put someone else in there. It can't get any worse. And, you know, one of the other things that I've heard a couple people mention, and it's a good thought, and it would at least mitigate some of our coverage issues on kickoff returns, is, you know, maybe we need a kicker that can kick it through the end zone consistently. It just seems like Elliott is not. And I don't know why, because I think he did in the past, and I don't know if it's ever since he came back from that ankle injury or whatever he missed that game for, and it just seems like we're not consistently kicking it through the end zone. So, I mean, if you know you're having coverage issues and you're giving up big plays, just kick it through the end zone and let him start at the 20. At least you know you're not going to give up a huge play.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't have a guy who does kickoffs and then a guy who kicks field goals. I think
didn't
he just break the team record for like most 50 yarders in a season or something like that.
He did, but I don't understand why he's not just kicking it through the end zone. It makes no sense to me. And I'm not obviously I'm not saying bench Elliott or anything. They
were asking Sirianni about it, and he said Elliott was trying to kick it into the end zone deep. But one was like the I guess the wind was knocking it down, and also I think they were just returning it. I'm trying to remember, but I think a couple of them were into the end zone, and they were still taking them out because they knew our special teams coverage was
shady. There was at least one.
Yeah, but I mean, there was like Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell running down there trying to tackle. Like I need a couple guys on the roster dedicated to special teams. I know it's tough to find that roster spot, but you know, in years past, you had guys like Brian Braman and you know, like Chip Kelly go out of his way to like put practice time towards special teams. And our special teams were always really good under Chip. That was probably one of the better things he brought, those in the shakes. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like you just need to dedicate some roster spots and practice time, and they're just not doing it. Rob, what about Jonathan Gannon? He admitted that the defense let up too many points. Any big takeaways from Gannon this week? And Jonathan Gannon, what are you giving him on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know. I'm not giving him anything crazy. 4.5, 5. I mean, look, we won. It did enough, and we did get a. What do we have? 1 or 2 turnovers? 2, I think, if I remember right. 2. So, I mean, look, they're a boom or bust defense. They get turnovers. They're a bend don't break. You know, but I still think they struggle at consistently slowing defenses down. And you know, that long run, I think that was the play. And I listened again to his press conference, and I got distracted for a moment. But I think he blamed himself and just said he made a bad call and it was too aggressive. I think it was that play. I'm not positive. But, you know, he better shore that up, because I've said this every week, and nothing this last week alleviated my fears that I still fear a good defense, or a good offense, I'm sorry, is going to march down the field on him. And we're going to need a day where our offense can put up 40 points if we want to win that game.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I certainly think some of the critiques of Gannon are warranted, but you know, they are creating turnovers, which really helps the team. And it seems like a point of emphasis. And so I think you got to give the coach some credit there. I thought there was actually, it's weird for a time where we let up 33 points. I think there were some bright spots at times of the defense. Like I thought the defensive line kind of got some decent pressure at times against Aaron Rodgers. Obviously the 2 interceptions I thought were good. But yeah, I mean, still you're letting up 33 points. Something's going wrong. You talk about the Tennessee Titans. That's going to be a huge test, and a huge test schematically too, because it's like very obvious what they do. They're going to pound the rock with Derrick Henry. Can you stop it? Hopefully there's a chance we get Jordan Davis back, which will be big. But Justin, what's your take on JG this past week?
I mean, I was actually thinking about it earlier before the numbers here, and a grade of, you know, A to F, and I would have said a D plus, potentially a C minus. I mean, we did get the 2 turnovers. You know, some of those points, and you got to be able to keep these guys out of the end zone. But, you know, at one point, I think they had Green Bay got that turnover from AJ and returned it down to the 13-yard line. Yeah. You know,
the defense was put into some tough spots. The kickoff like returns where they were in great spots. We turned it over on that 4th down and lost it. So I guess in their defense, they were put in some tough spots.
But with that said, I mean, you got to keep them out of the end zone. I mean, that's their job. And like I said last week, you know, last week I thought they played really well. I mean, they essentially, I thought, kind of won the game, holding Indy to 16. But this was a week where obviously they should have done better. The one thing I will give Gannon credit for, though, is like you have guys like Josiah Scott and Blankenship, you know, coming in. And I mean, they both had interceptions last game. Granted, Josiah's wasn't necessarily in coverage. It was off of Slay's helmet. But still, these guys are coming in and making plays, and they seem to be ready for the moment. I know Blankenship did get burned there at the end by Watson. Horrible angle. But other than that, I mean, he played a really good game. I forget what he had in PFF, but I was actually surprised with how high it was.
What were you saying?
He got a game ball from Sirianni.
Yeah, he got game ball too. You're right.
No, I was going to say that I am a little excited to see what our defense can be like with, you know, once Jordan Davis is back with that new D-line rotation
with Sue Davis.
And, you know, the other guy we signed and everyone else. I do think it has the potential to, you know, really help us against the run once Jordan Davis is back in there with the rotation we have with our recent signings. So I'm interested to see that. Obviously, I'm concerned about the loss of CJGJ. You know, that he was playing great for us and obviously had a ton of interceptions. So, that's a big loss and hopefully he'll be back quick.
Yeah, it is funny to see that it seems like we've become the old folks home of the NFL with Sproles and Jenkins, you know, saying that they could still play and potentially wanting to be on the team.
Well, yeah, that's a good question spot. It's funny. Of those two guys, Sproles and Jenkins, are you taking either one of those guys back? I would take a Sproles. I love Sprolesy, but he's too old for me to trust with the ball. Malcolm Jenkins, though, you could kind of talk me into it, but I felt like I've seen enough out of Reed Blankenship just in that one game that let's just kind of play the young guys here. And it'd be one thing if he was in playing shape, but I think like Jenkins, if you brought him back, it's like you got to ease him back. I don't know. I think we probably stay away from both. But I don't know. You guys, you taking a shot on either one of them?
I'd stay away from both. Sproles is what, a few years removed now. And then Jenkins, I mean, he's a bit old. And the other thing too, is it kind of messes a little bit with team continuity. I know we brought in Sue and, what do you call it, Joseph, but those were a must need situation. The last thing too is it seems like CJGJ is going to be back in hopefully a month, right? So if he were out for the season, maybe I'd take it more seriously, but I don't think so at this point.
Taking a quick break to talk about WinBet. If you're an Eagles fan, NFL fan, college football fan, and you're not already signed up on WinBet, what are you doing? You're missing out. Look, you get involved in those same game parlays. I gave out Kenny Gainwell first touchdown over on the Sports Gambling Podcast. Hit it for 30-1. That means if you took the $100 free bet and bet $100 on the Kenny Gainwell first touchdown, you'd be sitting on $3K. I mean, you know, birds games are fun enough. You add a little action onto it, gets even better. So much to choose from. All you got to do to get started, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we're back on the Die Hard Eagles podcast.
Yeah, I think the other thing, and look, Malcolm Jenkins was a great Eagle, but we have an entirely different scheme, different defense than when he was here too. So it's not like, you know, he's been out a year, but we're continuing the same defense and he could just step right in and be unaffected. And, you know, I think one of the other things that, you know, he was great for us was kind of, especially in that Super Bowl run year, he didn't play pure safety. He was dropping into coverage a lot and picking up guys. You know, now he's been out. Is it going to be harder for him to have that versatility? And would we need him to? I don't know. But I would probably roll with the guys we have.
Yeah, it makes sense. Speaking of CJGJ, who are you missing more, CJGJ or Dallas Goedert? I mean, Reed Blankenship played well, but I would still say CJGJ just because safety is such a thin spot for us. Goddard's great, and, you know, knocking on wood, we get him back here in the next couple of weeks, but I'm more worried about the defense in general, and, you know, we just put up 40 points without Dallas Goedert. Like, we have a bunch of weapons. We've been able to get Quez Watkins going more, so, I mean, it'll be great to get Goedert back for the playoffs, and I don't think you have to rush him back, but the defensive side, I think we have a smaller margin for error. What about you, Justin?
No, I would agree with you. I think, you know, Goddard is a huge talent. Do not get me wrong, but I just think we have more talent on the offensive side of the ball. I guess it's actually kind of closer than I think people would think, but still, I think you can get away with more on the offensive side of the ball without Goddard. I am a bit concerned, you know, you got this rookie coming in Blankenship, who played a pretty good game for the most part, trying to fill that spot. And I think defense needs a bit of a rhythm in order to be successful. And with, you know, him taking over for CJGJ, Josiah is still in there for Maddox. I am a bit concerned. The other thing, too, is CJGJ, I mean, league leader in interceptions. That's huge. You just basically lost a guy who was going to the Pro Bowl. For, like I said, I'm not sure. Have they come out with a specific timeline? I'm guessing it's like 3-4 weeks.
No, they said it's a lacerated kidney. And I think it's like one of those things. It's not like a set timetable for return. They said Ertz, when he lacerated his kidney, he only missed 2 weeks, but he was also like really pushing hard to play because it was a playoff game and the laceration was fairly minor. So I don't know. This one's going to be tough. I would probably say 3 to 4 weeks, kind of dependent on how things go.
The other thing, too, is, you know, that safety position for us, it's just there basically to create big disruptions or stop big plays from happening. And and you really saw that last game with Blankenship. One play is making an interception, and then at the end of the game, he takes a bad angle, and it's all over. So it is a bit of a concern.
Yeah, he's an undrafted rookie. What about you, Rob? Any chance you say Goddard here?
Yeah, I'm taking the contrarian view. I actually do think it's Goddard. Look, I think the offense without Goddard is more one-dimensional. I think, he opens up the passing game. Even this week, how many yards did Hurts throw for? It wasn't a ton. What was it, 200 yards?
I think it was 150 or something.
Yeah. I just think Goddard gives us that middle of the field, and it's clear that our other tight ends just can't fill in for him, and nor would I expect him to. I mean, he's a top five tight end in my mind. So I think if we're winning down the stretch, we're going to have to be able to go punch for punch against some of these other teams, Dallas and some of these other teams that score a lot. And I think our offense has a much better chance of doing that with Goddard. I think realistically our defense is going to give up points down the stretch. I think we can shore up the run game a little bit and rely on our cornerbacks who are good. And hopefully, I think they've had a couple down games a little bit, but I'm hoping once that, Davis comes back and the line gets going again, that they'll pick that back up. So, I'm going to say Goddard because I just think we're going to have to score a lot of points down the stretch.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Yeah. I do worry about, I mean, not having Goddard for the playoffs, I think would be huge because he is just so clutch to get that like third down, get that first down when you really need it. I see the case for Goddard. All right. Talking about season stuff. Well, this actually is a good transition. Can we win this way in the playoffs? It's weird. I feel like people talk out kind of like both sides of their mouth where it's like, hey, you got to be able to run the ball in cold weather and in the playoffs. And then other people are like, you can't win the NFL if you're only running the ball. The version of the Eagles that we saw against the Packers last night, two nights ago, can we win that way in the playoffs? I think we can. Certainly you have to play better on special teams and defense a little bit, but I think, and some people are like, oh, this is like the offense from last year. It's too one-dimensional. But I really don't think it is because we saw the increase in efficiency with Hurts' passing game. Like, that back shoulder throw to Quez Watkins. Like, that really tight ball to A.J. Brown for the other passing touchdown. Like, the run game is good. I think we can win this way in the playoffs. I don't think we have to be a pass first team. Like, hey, if that's what we're seeing and that's what the matchups dictate, I think we can, especially if AJ Brown gets out of his funk, but I don't think we have to, I think we can win in multiple ways, which I think that's really how you win in the playoffs. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you kind of said it all. You laid it out all really well, because it was funny, they were talking about, like you said, the fact that, hey, this is how you win, you need to be able to run the ball in cold weather. And last season we run the hell out of the ball, and then people were saying you can't win that way. But like, and you pointed it out perfectly, is the fact that we weren't running the ball because we necessarily had to. We used it this game, especially because it was the best option. And then next game, potentially, you know, maybe we need to use Hurts's arm a little bit more. And we actually have that as a viable option this season compared to last, where, you know, he was getting better, but we all could tell that he really wasn't there exactly. I think somebody showed clips of one year ago this season was the Giants game that we came on here and we were freaking out and saying, I don't know if Hurts is the guy, you know? And there's some stats out there. I can't dig them up at the moment, but it was just some stats about how much better he's gotten, his QBR and whatnot have gotten over the past three seasons. So he's getting there. And I think we can win it either way, if we got to throw with him or if we got to run the ball.
Yeah, Rob, any worries about the sustainability of the way we've been winning?
No. You know, here's the difference between last year and this year. I mean, last year we ran the ball largely because, you know, Hurts couldn't make the throws. And mm-hmm. And it's not just him. You know, I don't think, you know, clearly we didn't have the weapons as we didn't have this year with A.J. Brown, but you know, there was also, you know, we talked a lot of times that Hurts was missing wide open receivers. He, you know, wasn't making great throws. He was throwing behind receivers. So there was a concern that he just couldn't make the throws. And that's why we became so one dimensional with the run. And, you know, we got to the playoffs and played the Bucs, and they basically said, we're going to sell out against the run and make Hurts throw. And he couldn't do it. And that's the bottom line. He had a bad game. And kudos to him for working hard in the off season and not letting that define him. But you know, the difference this year is we're running a lot at times, but when he needs to, he's making the throws and he's making deep throws. He's making across throws. He's you know, he's had games where we've been lights out passing and haven't run the ball as much. So that's the difference to me this year versus last year. It's he has shown the ability to make those throws and to lead the offense. So when I see a game where he only has 150 yards throwing and we have 363 yards rushing, it doesn't really concern me because I have much more faith that if a team does sell out against that run, we're going to be able to adapt and beat them with the pass this year. And last year, I don't think that was the case.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why, like, they're already leaking out news that Jalen Hurts in line to get a payday here up to $50 million a year from the Eagles. Again, I think you just got to pay him what you got to pay him. Quarterbacks aren't cheap in this league. Yeah, it'd be great to get him on a discount, or yeah, it'd be great, but you just have to pay quarterbacks. And you know, we got the ace up our sleeve, aka Howie Roseman. I mean, after Howie Roseman got out of that Wentz deal, I have complete faith in him as a general manager. In spite of the fact that I called for his firing probably multiple times after the trade. That being said, like, this dude is a wizard. I'm not worried about any sort of Jalen Hurts deal. He has the maturity and the work ethic that that really is usually the red flags in these kind of deals. But Rob, I know in the group text you were a little nervous about giving our boy Rare Breed Untamed $50 million a year.
$50 million seems crazy to me. I know the market's going up and up. Look, well,
look at Deshaun Watson. If I'm Jalen Hurts's agent, I go, look at what Russell Wilson's getting paid. Look at what Kyler Murray's getting paid.
Are any of them getting $50 million a year though?
What's up?
Are any of them getting actually $50 million a year?
Well, Deshaun Watson, I think, gets $250 million guaranteed. And Kyler Murray, I think his deal is in the $200 millions.
Yeah, but I don't think it's 46 a year.
I think his is 46. I could be wrong. Yeah. I think Murray's.
Look, I think what you're going to see is, I think as soon as the season's over, you're going to see the Eagles jump out and try to get the extension done before anyone else. Because I think there's some other quarterbacks also eligible this year. It's like Herbert eligible and some other guys. I could be wrong on that. And I think the Eagles are going to want to get that done before another team sets the market even higher.
Yeah. So real quick, I pulled up the numbers. Aaron Rodgers, a guy who just outplayed on Sunday Night Football, is making $50 million. Russell Wilson's making 49. Kyler Murray's making 46. Deshaun Watson, 46. Patrick Mahomes, 45. Josh Allen, 43. And this isn't, you know, Lamar Jackson's due for a deal. And to your point, Rob, yeah, because he's in the same draft class as Herbert and Tua. So I think you're right. Like, I bet Howie jumps in there and signs him before Herbert, because once Herbert's there, I mean, you know, what do you pay Herbert? It's going to be through the roof.
Yeah, Sean, Lamar, do you think you should be hired for the Eagles staff, considering you would have signed him this season?
I got him at like $35 million or something.
Sorry, Rob.
Not allowed by NFL rules.
What were you saying, Rob?
The NFL rules wouldn't have allowed you to sign him this year.
I would have been in Howie jail. They would have put me in the equipment locker that he had to spend when Chip banished him. Justin, what about you? I mean, you're in on Hurts, right? Like, how can you not be at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about the difference between last season and this season, and everything kind of came back to Hurts. Granted, we do have more talent on the offensive side of the ball with AJ, which is a huge, huge help. But yeah, I mean, you got to pay him. And I don't think you go back and forth with it and tool around with it like this Lamar season. This is dragged out with Lamar and the Ravens. I mean, pay him right away, kind of like what Rob was saying. And Howie's been quick to that, so I'm not overly concerned with that. The other thing, as you pointed out, Sean, he's great with is, you know, he's great with working the money, figuring it out, working around the deal, and seeing what's what. And I think, as you just pointed out, $50 million seems like it might be closer to the start than like the highest, you know.
I think going back a long time now, Howie's and really the Eagle Howie, whether it was Banner Howie, their MO has been to extend guys relatively early, and it's, you know, I think in doing that they've generally got a little bit of a discount, but obviously you're taking a little bit more of a risk. And you know, they've got burned, I think, on a couple players that haven't panned out, or maybe they overpaid. But then there's also players that, you know, you do get a good deal who sign a little early. So I have no reason to believe that's not what they're going to do this time.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Eagles are a 5.5-point home favorite against the Tennessee Titans coming to town. Keys to winning the game on defense. I mean, it just seems... One, obviously, you have to stop Derrick Henry. But, you know, Treylon Burks, I think, could be a bit of a handful for this Eagles team as well. Hopefully our cornerbacks are able to shut them down. But, Justin, what do you want to see out of the defense? I know it's all going to be about shutting down Derrick Henry, but is it as simple as just loading the box? Is it certain personnel you'd like to see there? Maybe some run blitzes? Like, what do we got to do to slow down Derrick Henry?
Yeah, great question. I mean, obviously, he's the key. I know Tannehill's kind of still on that ankle, and he's ginger working it out. I watched last week. But anyways, I guess doing whatever you can do, especially like you were talking about with those run blitzes, potentially disguising them. And really what I want to see is the first guy try to be able to wrap him up. So much. Much easier said than done, but they got to come, and they can't just be bouncing off of guys and bouncing off of him and thinking that they don't need to wrap up. So many times I feel like I see somebody like, you know, hit a guy hard, but they're not actually wrapping him up and tackling him, which has been, I think, quite the issue this season. So it's just all about stopping Henry, as you said.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. They try and blow guys up, but then you miss.
Yeah.
You miss the quality form tackle. Rob, any advice you give to your boy JG on shutting down Derrick Henry this week?
No, I there's not much to say. Obviously, we just have to stop the run. I think you got to load the box, make Tannehill beat you throwing, and I like mixing up some run blitzes and things like that. Throw that in there. So I don't have the answer schematically. Justin's our defensive wizard, that's the key to the game, obviously, Henry. And like you guys said, it's not just stopping him, but I think it's, you know, putting the guys in the right place, but it's also, you know, tackling him because, you could be there and he could run right over you.
Yeah. What about as far as our offense? I think, and I was just pulling up the stats, but yeah, I mean, you know, Tennessee's passing defense is pretty soft. And I think if you're going to beat the Titans, you almost got to do it through the air because they're really good rushing defense. Number one In rushing defense, but 29th in passing defense. So I think there will be some opportunities. You saw like Joe Burrow was able to get some stuff done against the Titans. Not an amazing shootout style game, but still, it seems like to beat them, you got to be able to throw the rock. Justin, what do you think as far as the keys on offense? I think honestly, for me, within that, like obviously being able to throw on them is continuing to get Quez Watkins going. Cause I think he, I mean like AJ Devonta, you know, assuming AJ gets out of this funk, between being sick and these couple fumbles, but Quez has been, you know, with Goddard out, it's been a nice time for him to shine.
Yeah, no, I have in my notes here, don't run, exclamation point. I mean, as you pointed out, their rushing defense is great. They hold teams to 84 yards a game, and their passing defense is horrendous. I think they're second worst in the league. They give up about 300 yards a game, 266 a half down. So, yeah, pass the ball. I actually think this is going to be a great, you know, redemption game for AJ. It should be a huge one, actually, for him. He just needs to take care of the ball this time around. And we were just talking about, hey, how we ran it all down their throat last game. Now this is a great game for Hurts to showcase his arm and for us to win it that way.
Yeah, what about you, Rob?
Yeah, I don't see how this isn't, you know, a Hurts AJ Brown game. You know, obviously he's going to want to put up a show against his former team. The team that traded him away wouldn't give him the deal. So I have no doubt he's going to come in extra motivated to kind of have a game. And I think that works. I agree. I don't think we need to abandon the run. But I think we can open up the run through the pass for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And I mean, again, you know, obviously shutting down King Henry, but I think there are opportunities to turn over Ryan Tannehill and anything we can, you know, obviously you got to get those turnovers. All right, let's talk Eagles player of the game. I feel like I keep going to this guy, but bounce back game against these weaker cornerbacks for the Titans. AJ Brown, let's go. Eagles get the win. It's not a beautiful game, and I actually don't think they get the cover. I think this is 21-17, and AJ Brown is my diehard Eagles player of the game. Justin, what about you?
I'm hoping we come prepared to stop this run. It seems like that's all we necessarily have to do. So I'm going to say it's TJ Edwards. I think, you know, we got Sue and Joseph up front. He can hit the hole, at least if they're getting a little bit blocked there. And even if Henry's starting to run to the outside. So I think in order for us to have a good game, we got to have TJ, you know, making a ton of tackles for us. With that said, I think the score then is going to be 32-13. I'm hoping we're able to clean up the run this game. And yeah, we can praise again. And hopefully at the end of this, we'll see.
All hail JG. Rob, who's your Eagles player of the game? And what's your final score?
Yeah, I'm going to say player of the game is, you know what, I'm gonna go against the grain and say Miles Sanders. I know it's not a running game, but he's so close to breaking one for a touchdown here. I think this is gonna be the week. Breaks a long one. I do think it's gonna be a close game. I'm gonna say 24-20.
Ooh, all right, 24-20. Yeah, it does feel like it could be a 3-4 point victory. I mean, the Titans, they're no joke, especially after a loss. So got to be prepared, got to be locked in, a.k.a. rent is due. Time to pay the rent. Untamed, rare breed. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Diehard Eagles podcast. Check out all our gear over in the SGPN store, store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. For the Diehard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean, second the money green. For Rob, for Justin, go Birds!
Go Birds! Birds.